Welcome to Power Play for May 30th, the day a matter of life or death hits the Commons floor as final assisted dying bill votes begin. We will have a Liberal senator and a Liberal MP with sobering second thoughts to explain why this controversial bill won't pass without amendments. Also ahead, it's a tale of two conventions, and we will have the contrasts and analysis by delegates to the Liberal and Conservative chinwags as they return to reality here in Ottawa. And the government was reeling on news it's already $9 billion in deficit, most of it racked up in just 1 month. A leading economist tells us if it's fiscal reality or the federal minister having fun with figures. And with Beerapalooza season upon us, the Conservatives are pumping up their push for a free-flowing border to bruise between provinces. The longtime political advocate for boozeless borders is in the second half hour. But first, it's a matter of life or death, and it's opening a major parliamentary rift, which comes to a head this week. The biggest Senate showdown confronting this government so far is the assisted dying bill. It is expected to be voted in the House of Commons tomorrow and sent to a skeptical Senate by midweek. Here's how the discussion played out in question period earlier today.
This bill doesn't pass next week. The Carter decision itself provides the criteria for determining who's eligible, and the provinces are now prepared and have already released guidelines for their physicians. We have the time we need to fix this, so will the government stop ramming through this deeply flawed bill and work with us to get it right?
Without legislation in place, healthcare providers will not have the legal framework that they require to proceed. They will be advised to seek legal consult. This will cause serious problems in accessing. Not only that, the Canadian Pharmacists Association have made it clear that there will be no protection for pharmacists to dispense medication. We need to get this legislation in place as soon as possible.
To discuss its fate as currently written, we're joined by Trudeau-appointed, but not necessarily a Liberal, Senator Andre Pratt. The former editor of La Presse joins us in Montreal. Senator, you might have it by Wednesday or Thursday. Is there any way this bill is going to get approved in its current form by June 6th?
I'd be extremely surprised because I think a very large number of senators have concerns as to how the bill is presently written. Those concerns vary, but they're important, and I think a lot of senators want to speak to the bill. Many of them want it amended, not necessarily in the same direction, but many want to see amended, so I'd be very surprised if the job can be finished by the 6th.
What exactly are your concerns with the bill that you've seen so far?
Well, the Supreme Court has said in the Carter decision that medically assisted dying is a fundamental right. And one of the main jobs of the Senate really is to protect Canadians' fundamental rights. And as it is written currently, the bill limits medically assisted dying to people who are, in fact, who are suffering from a terminal illness. And that's not the right as it's been established by the Supreme Court in its decision. So right from that part of the bill is problematic because it limits medically assisted dying to a category of Canadians. That is, for instance, someone who would be suffering from a serious illness, but whose death is not foreseeable in the near future, would not have the right to medically assisted dying, even if she would know that she would be suffering for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of intolerable suffering. So that's a problem for me. I think that person should have the right, and that's what the Supreme Court has said, does have the right of to medically assisted dying. Mm-hmm. So that's a major weakness in the bill, and I think the bill should be amended to correspond to what the Supreme Court has established as a fundamental right.
Certainly this is perhaps the biggest, as I was saying earlier, the showdown with the government that we've seen so far. The Senate is certainly flexing independent muscles now for the first time. This is what you were supposed to do under the Constitution, right? This is sober second thought stuff, right?
Well, and you know, personally, and I know for many of my colleagues, this is not something that we're doing lightly. I mean, the Senate is appointed, we're not elected, and when a bill comes in front of us, we might suggest amendments, but if the House, in the end, decides that they're not going to comply, they're not going to accept our amendments, the Senate usually will say, okay, listen, you're elected, we're appointed, so you decide. And that's usually the case. But as I said, the Senate has a duty to protect Canadians' minority fundamental rights. And these are, this is one of these cases where the Senate has to do its duty. And so, I mean, it might look like, hey, this is the Senate's first opportunity, the independent Senate, to flex its muscles. But it just happens this way. But this is not an ordinary bill. And it is one of these circumstances, exceptional circumstances, where the Senate has to fulfill its mission of protecting vulnerable Canadians' fundamental rights. And I certainly hope that in the end, we do find a compromise, the government, the Senate, and the House of Commons, to find a correct way to write this bill so that it finds the correct balance between protecting fundamental rights. And, I mean, obviously, this is a very serious issue. We have to tread carefully. But there's a way of doing this, I think. And everyone wants to work very seriously and prudently. But there's a way of doing this while protecting all Canadians' fundamental rights to medically assisted dying.
It's very interesting, because I'd like to see you go back as a thundering columnist that you used to be, an editorial writer, and say, if the Senate obstructs and refuses to pass this bill without these amendments, if there's this big showdown and it doesn't happen, it is, as you point out, the appointed Senate against the elected Commons. Where would you come down on that one? Ultimately, who should be supreme?
Well, in fact, what would happen is that the Supreme Court decision would stand, right? If there's no agreement in the end, if there's no bill, mm-hmm. which would happen if the Senate and the House of Commons can't agree, if there's no bill, then the Supreme Court decision stands. So it's not a void, right? There's a court decision, and so who's supreme? Well, the Supreme Court is supreme, and the Charter of Rights and Freedom is supreme. And besides, most provinces and physicians' colleges have already established standards and safeguards, so that we're not into a juridic void. There are rules already. It's just that we would not have national standards, and obviously, it would be ideal to have national standards. It would be ideal to have a law, and hopefully we will achieve that law. But it's better to have a Supreme Court decision that establishes clear principle than to have a failed law. At least that's how I see it. Yeah. I know that that's how many senators see it. And, I mean, we're not at the end of the process here. As you mentioned, yeah. The bill will arrive to the Senate this week. We will have very careful debates. I know all senators see this as a very important bill. I mean, this is, I've expressed where I stand today. We don't know whether the government may, in the end, propose amendments. So we'll see. I mean, this is not the end of the debate. And if we don't come up with a final version on June the 6th, then there are a few more days of debates, and we'll see.
Okay,
hopefully, we will achieve a bill that satisfies a majority of the Senate and a majority of the House of Commons and a majority of Canadians.
Fascinating discussion and yet to be concluded. Senator Pratt, thanks for joining us. Appreciate this.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the MPs start voting on amendments tonight to this bill that's coming out of parliamentary committee scrutiny now. It's a free vote, but some Liberals are signaling they may vote against it. One of them is Toronto MP Nate Erskine-Smith. He wrote his thesis on the Charter of Rights and Assisted Dying. He joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you're not going to vote in the current form and support in the current form. What needs to change?
Well, I spoke at second reading in support of the legislation to get it to committee, hoping that they would address the reasonably foreseeability criterion.
Right.
So basically, the Supreme Court has said those who are suffering grievously or irremediably have access to assisted dying. The government has added an additional criterion, reasonable foreseeability of death, mm-hmm. and we have to justify why that criterion is necessary, because it does remove the right from a certain category of individuals.
So does that make the bill unconstitutional?
In my view, it does. I know it's an argument on both sides for a number of people, but You know, the Canadian Bar Association has expressed their concerns. The lead lawyer in Carter has certainly expressed his concerns. There are other constitutional experts have done so as well. And I think there's an argument that it could be saved by way of constitutional dialogue. So there is a principle of constitutional dialogue. The court might say this doesn't completely meet what we were asking you to do, but you in good faith attempted to meet our concerns, and so we're going to accord you some deference. But as I said in the House, I said, you know, we have to address the constitutionality, but we're not just tasked with that. The courts tasked us with that, but Canadians task us to go beyond that and to draft the best possible law, and I don't think we've done that.
Yeah, but you're not just any MP. You've got experience in this. You wrote a thesis on it.
So,
why don't they listen to you in caucus and say, all right, maybe we have to bend a bit on this. If you're saying it's unconstitutional, it probably is.
I'm one voice. There are others who've taken different views. I think the important thing to emphasize is respectful and reasonable disagreement, and that has occurred in our caucus and in the House of Commons. And I'm hopeful, certainly, that if it does pass to the Senate, that the Senate will bring to bear a degree of independence and raise these concerns as well.
I'm curious, Nate. I mean, you're sitting here. You're a Liberal MP, a rookie, but you're still an MP, and you're saying your own government's signature legislation, at least so far, is unconstitutional. Are you going to suffer any smackdown because of that?
No, quite the opposite. So we've been encouraged to raise concerns of our constituents. Certainly my constituents have voiced almost unanimous opposition to this bill because it doesn't go far enough. We had a town hall in early April. I've consulted regularly with constituents one-on-one as well.